The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, how are you doing?
Okay, Tom, very good. Thank you, Benji. I hope you guys are doing all right heading into your holiday season. Just an interesting snippet that was announced this morning. The Genesis Prize Foundation has announced that the 2020 winner will be Natan Sharansky. And the Genesis Prize is interesting for a few reasons. First of all, because this has been sponsored by former South African businessman Maurice Kahn, who has been very successful in Israel and is a very well-known philanthropist and has donated the money that awards $1 million every year to the winner of the Genesis Prize. This year, as I said, it's going to Natan Sharansky. He needs no introduction at all. Very, very well-known former Eurofusnik, member of the Israeli government, someone who's come to Israel and really made quite a difference. But for the first time in the Genesis Prize history, which has been going since 2014, an Israeli actually will be winning the Genesis Prize. The Genesis Prize was set up actually back in 2012, and it's set up with the objective of awarding Jewish people who have attained recognition and excellence in their fields. And former Genesis Prize laureates include Michael Bloomberg, Michael Douglas, Itzhak Perlman, Sir Anish Kapoor, Natalie Portman, Robert Kraft, and of course, Ruth Bader Ginsburg received a Lifetime Achievement Award. And for the first time this year, it is going to an Israeli. I don't think that anybody can argue that Natan Sharansky is worthy of this award, both in terms of the fight that he put up while he was imprisoned in the Russian Gulag, and the way that he fought for his rights to immigrate to Israel as a Jew, and also for the efforts that he's put in since arriving in the state of Israel. He's really shown himself to be somebody who has given off public service in the highest method, and most recently, of course, the head of the Jewish Agency. But just an interesting little piece of news this morning before we get into the heavy stuff.
Well, given Natan Sharansky's rather intimate relationship with Russia and the Soviet Union, actually connects quite well with our first story, with Russian jets being scrambled over the weekend in order to prevent an Israeli attack on Syria. That's quite an uptick, actually, in Russian defense of Syria.
This is very much an uptick. And of course, the source is not from an Israeli source, as you would imagine. This has been reported actually by Iranian and Russian media that Russian Sukhoi warplanes actually had to be scrambled from an airbase in northern Syria to try to intercept an alleged Israeli attack that was going to be carried out against the T-4 airbase. Some people are talking about earlier this month. Some people are saying that it was even over the last weekend. And once again, this T4 airbase is a very, very well-known location, both as a transit point for Iranian weapons going into Syria and going into Lebanon. It also has quite a large number of Russian and Iranian personnel stationed there. And of course, because Israel has been accused of striking T4 in the past. Now, Israel's objectives, if indeed there was an objective to strike T4, would almost certainly have been to try somehow to intercept the shipment of Iranian missiles going in and out of Syria and Lebanon. And in fact, there was a report that there was actually a Russian anti-missile system that might have been under deployment and going through T4, as a result of which Israel was quite eager to interrupt the shipment. As it turns out, the attack did not take place. And so one can only assume, therefore, that whatever this piece of equipment was that was being moved from Iran, perhaps originally from Russia through Iran to Syria, has already made its way to wherever it's going to be going to, although I have no doubt that Israeli intelligence are keeping a careful eye on it. But, of course, this is becoming very, very sensitive, because if Israel's intentions to try to carry out attacks against Syria and to try to disrupt the flow of arms and ammunition to Syrian forces and, of course, to Hezbollah in Lebanon, if that's going to be disrupted in any way, then that creates a huge danger for the state of Israel, which needs to be reconsidered, because up until now, Israel's really had freedom of flight, freedom of movement over Syria, pretty much, even though there have been previous attempts at the use of anti-aircraft missiles in order to try to prevent Israeli aircraft from carrying out attacks. There's no doubt that Israeli aircraft do have very, very sophisticated capabilities, and I have no doubt that even with the deployment of these Russian anti-aircraft systems, Israel knows how to get around them. But having said that, it just makes it a little bit more difficult, a little bit more dangerous. And so this is clearly an uptick, as you like to call it, in the situation. And of course, it's interesting that Russia has scrambled its aircraft in order to very much protect the Iranians and to protect what's going on in Syria against Israel, even though in theory, Russia and Israel are also cooperating on many fronts. So this is a very, very complex and intricate situation where on the one hand, a few days ago, Prime Minister Netanyahu had been in a personal conversation with Russian President Putin. On the other hand, Russian aircraft are being scrambled in order to prevent Israel from carrying out certain missions over Syria. So it does become very, very complex indeed. There was a report that an Iranian Boeing 747, which was used by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, arrived in Damascus from Tehran over the weekend. And so once again, you know, a lot of movement of arms and ammunition seems to be happening in that area of Syria. The Russians are active. Israel is obviously following this very carefully. And I guess we'll just have to see how Israel responds to this going forward, even though we do know that many of these missions, many of these attack missions have been successful in the past, and Israel has managed to disrupt a lot of the flow of the arms and ammunition that's going on through Syria. Unfortunately, there are situations when the attempt to disrupt the flow of this equipment is not successful. And I guess that this is one of those situations where the Russians were actually deployed in order to prevent Israel from attacking these shipments of arms, or it seems as if they're quite heavy duty anti-aircraft systems.
Now, moving on to something internal, Israel's Attorney General has been challenged by the High Court of Justice to offer an opinion on whether Prime Minister Netanyahu can lead his party into the next election. What's that all about?
Well, as we know, Prime Minister Netanyahu, the legal indictments hanging over his head. And a lot of people are asking whether such a person in such a legal situation is really able to lead a political party into an election and potentially even be voted in, elected as Prime Minister. And the Attorney General, while he was the one who actually announced the indictments that would be carried out, that would be proceeded against Prime Minister Netanyahu, he's been very, very cautious not to offer an opinion as to whether that actually disqualifies him from political office. According to the law, as I understand things, a person is unable to serve as a minister in Israel's government if they have a legal indictment hanging over their heads. But as I understand things, the law does not talk about Prime Minister, and there is a distinction between being a minister and being Prime Minister. And so the law, unfortunately, in this particular situation seems not to be helpful at all in determining whether Prime Minister Netanyahu can be disqualified from being Prime Minister or even from leading his party into the next election. And nobody has been willing to stand up and try to offer an opinion in order to make that clear. And we see a little bit of tension between the High Court of Justice, and in particular Justice Ofer Grosskopf, and the Attorney General, where the High Court judge challenged. He didn't actually demand or require the Attorney General to offer an illegal opinion, but he just did say that he wondered whether the Attorney General would wish to issue a legal opinion as to whether Prime Minister Netanyahu is qualified to continue in this office or not. And then he went on to say he also wondered whether the Attorney General believes that the High Court should rule on this issue before the next election. Everybody is kind of dodging it. Nobody really wants to stand up and say, this is the opinion and this is what I think, and therefore either the Prime Minister, as he is right now, is qualified or unqualified. Now, what Mandelblit has said, who is the Attorney General, he said that he doesn't think that he needs to offer an opinion right now, at least not until Netanyahu is actually voted into office. He said it's irrelevant until such time as there are 61 members of the Knesset who vote for him to become prime minister. And at that moment, he feels it would be the right moment to rule as to whether this legally can stand up or not.
Anthony, the other issue just which sort of strikes at me quickly is that Netanyahu is technically minister of a number of things as well as being prime minister, which I could imagine
that's
might
true.
Be an issue.
That's true. So I think there's no doubt that he needs to resign his various ministerial portfolios. That goes without saying. I think that that's what the law requires of him. But it still doesn't speak to the issue of being prime minister. And what's interesting is that there are actually two other high court motions going on at the moment. One motion where the movement for the quality of government has appealed to the high court in order to rule as to whether Prime Minister Netanyahu can really be is able to continue into the next election. And also a group of a few dozen high-tech officials have also opened a case in the High Court of Justice in an attempt really to try to oust Prime Minister Netanyahu from being Prime Minister. So these two parallel court cases are the ones that are really giving the High Court of Justice the headache as to whether they can really make a legal ruling on this. And they are trying their best somehow to put this upon the Attorney General, who he himself is not prepared to make a ruling. And so as things stand at the moment, nobody's really prepared to make any judgment on this, to stand up and make themselves heard as to whether this is something that illegally can be challenged or not. It's a very fascinating situation.
Yeah, absolutely, Anthony. Quite a complex one as always. And of course, we're having to negotiate a variety of coalition issues just on top of that. And I'm sure you will be bringing us all that information in the next couple of days as that sort of thing, as this unfolds, really. So thank you very much. We'll chat to you tomorrow.
I look forward to it. Take care.
Anthony Reich there, bringing us the Israel report. He does join us at this time every single day, which is fabulous because he knows his stuff. Now time for the news with Zanati.